I think it's slightly easier to preach to you guys than to do the children's sermon. New experiences this new year. So as I said, Advent 1, this Sunday, is the beginning of the new church year. A lot of people don't really know what the word Advent means, but it's the arrival of a notable thing, event, or person. And for us, Advent is all three of those. It's looking towards the past when Christ first came, but we're also waiting expectantly for the second coming of Christ and his kingdom specifically. This Sunday is the Sunday of hope, where we are hopeful for the future. And like I said to the kids, and I don't know if they were paying attention to me, but when we start out the year, we started off focusing on Christ and his kingdom. And we do that because that's what our focus should always be year-round. And it can get really hard. It can also be slightly confusing because, you know, just the other day, we had Thanksgiving where we give thanks. And then the following day, we have probably the most secular day that I can think of, which is Black Friday. And I know why it's called Black Friday. Specifically, that's when most stores, their budget goes from being in the red to being in the black. So they're making a profit finally near the end of the year. But really, I think of Black Friday as pretty black because it's a focus on materialism. And our reading from Romans kind of sets us up to think about that. I mean, the first verse starts with, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." That "owe no one anything" is kind of petrifying, at least for some of us. I owe Wells Fargo my student loan. I do not like owing Wells Fargo my student loan, but I do because I needed to go to college. I needed to get an education. On the other hand, what I think of right now is not a need per se, but a want. Specifically, on Friday and tomorrow, Cyber Monday, because when all the good nerdy computer things are on sale, it's really hard to resist. I want that new television, or I want that new computer. But we need to remember that that "owe no one anything" is there. But I don't think that that's what Paul is actually talking about. This is coming at the end of an entire chapter before talking about the Christian life. This is the culmination of the Christian lifestyle being taught to us. And I think that's pretty good to know, especially at the beginning of our new year, because we aren't focusing on the material of owing anything to anyone, but we're focusing on the culmination of a lifestyle as a Christian. In chapter 12, we're told to let our love be genuine and abhor what is evil. We're supposed to hold fast what is good, to love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be consistent in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. These are some of the directions that Paul is giving to the Romans and to us. And it culminates with the don't owe no one anything except to love each other. And I want to sit on the love each other bit because it goes to what Jesus spoke. This is almost I would say, a paraphrase of what Jesus said earlier. We have a reminder every Sunday of the first and second laws, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the culmination of all the law, and Paul is reaffirming that. So we aren't murderers. We aren't, what else are we? We are not covetous. We don't steal. We don't murder. We don't commit adultery. Love shows no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The owe nothing to anyone, or that isn't talking about materially particularly. It's actually focusing on the love each other bit. A commentator that I was reading had a really great thing that I really, really liked. He said that God wants us to show sincere love, not merely an external, what's the word? I think I have it actually written down. An external, an honest, not merely a conformity. He wants an honest, consistent concern for other people that spills into actions of all kinds. The love one another is a debt that we can never fully pay off. In this world, we go into like a student loan. And as a Christian, we're supposed to pay that debt faithfully, and hopefully one day we won't have to pay that debt anymore. But the love debt is never fulfilled, be it 15 years or 20 years or 50 years. Our job is to love one another, not just Christians, not just our family, but love our neighbors, anyone and everyone. And that's not an easy thing. And the reason why we have to do that, Paul tells us, is besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The reason why we are to love each other is because Christ is coming. That's the capstone to the Christian lifestyle. It is what sets us apart. Anybody can show affection to their friends, we learned. Anybody can show affection to their children, we've learned. But it's not easy to show affection and love to just the random neighbor or to the enemy, because we're called to love our enemies as well. Like my last sermon was on. I seem to be doing this series on love. We are to put off the old self and put on the new one. This St. Paul does a wonderful job, at least for me, on these word pictures, on how I'm supposed to stop being myself and be more like Jesus. And this time, he gets to be really kind of like metally. And when I say metally, he says, put on the armor of light. Armor is a protection, and light emits light in the darkness, obviously. But The armor of light he's talking about, he says, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are we taking off our old clothes and putting on a new clothes, we're putting on Jesus himself when we follow the commandments. And the fulfillment of the law and the summation of the law is through loving our neighbors. We're to cast off the works of darkness. We're supposed to throw them away. Paul's other thing that he does is he does these comparisons. One of which he does a lot of is comparing light and dark. Another thing that comes up in my sermons is driving. I get all sorts of things out of driving, it would seem. The Bible just speaks to me when I'm behind that wheel. During the day, it is really easy for me to follow the speed limit. It might be because there's a lot of people on the road. It might be because I think people are more aware of what's going on. But I follow the speed limit pretty darn well. In contrast, in the night, I find it very, very difficult to follow that speed limit. No one is out there. No one will see me going slightly over the speed limit. Which is a tricky situation because there are people who will see you eventually. They're called the police, and they will give you a ticket. I have not received one of those, so I'm going to continue to not break that law as much as possible. But we have this picture of during the day, we're under scrutiny, and at night we can get away with things. Historically, at night, as we read in the gospel, the thief comes in the night because you're covered. People can't see you. You're free to do what you will without possible repercussions. But the night is almost over. The day is at hand. And as Christians, we should never live like God doesn't see us at night. That is a very weak God. If that were so, and that's not who we worship. He sees everything all the time. Other ancient faiths believed that their gods were basically superheroes. Well, I wouldn't say they're superheroes because they were interesting characters, to say the least, but they had the same limitations as humans. They could only see one area at a time. Our God sees everything. So we are constantly under the scrutiny of him seeing us speed either during the day or during the night. But the day is when we're good. And Paul is telling us that the day of the Lord is at hand. And when I read that, I think of a sunrise, and I wake up really early. And even not in the winter, even during the summer, I wake up before the sun comes up. And that is one of my most favorite times of the day. Because it's not just darkness and then the sun's up, but there's the sunrise on the horizon. And I am blessed to live up here on the hill, and I can see the yellows and the oranges and the pinks coming up over the horizon, and I know that the day is dawning. And it's a wonderful image of the day of the Lord dawning, the light coming up and bringing up all of the things that we don't want people to know about, but we also get to see the beautiful things that the Lord has done. The truth is revealed in the light, and he's coming. And Paul wants us to live into that light and not live in the darkness. We're supposed to stop doing what we used to do, which is not easy. We are supposed to take off our dirty clothes, which was sin, and earthly desires and put on Jesus Christ. I think that is the heaviest word picture I've heard in a while. And I'm supposed to be reading the Bible all the time, and yet he still hits me every time I come to it with something new. We're putting on Christ. We're not just putting on cloth. We're not putting on some purple. We're putting on Jesus. And in putting on Jesus, our sincere love affects how we deal with everybody. And it makes us live differently. In this new year, starting today, we focus on Christ's second coming. So it's not just that he came and he did this great stuff on the cross, and we celebrate that every Sunday here at the table. He paid for our sins and everything. But we're looking to when he comes back, to that glorious kingdom that Revelation paints a picture of. And we don't know when it's going to be, as Matthew informed us today in the gospel. The Son doesn't know, but the Father does. But we're supposed to live like it's tomorrow or today. And it's not a, oh, Sunday is when I'm holy day. Every day is I'm holy day because I'm not wearing my old self. I'm wearing Christ. Question about loving each other sincerely, I guess it's not a question, the call to love each other sincerely brings an issue. We say, oh, I love this person, so I don't want to hurt them, so I'm going to lie to them. And because I love them, that's okay. It's not okay. That's not what this is saying. Our sincerity in love causes us to do things that maybe right now isn't particularly great for an individual, but in the long run, it's the right thing to do. So I'm not going to lie to somebody to make them feel good now, because that's breaking the law. The law is still there. Loving each other is the summation of the law. And in that love, we're able to follow the law as Christ has commanded us. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself is the capstone. That makes us able to follow everything else he's called us to do. The easy bits and the hard bits. The following the speed limit and using your turn blinker. And parking correctly. That's another good one. We are called to live differently because we're not ourselves anymore. We're Christ. And when Christ's kingdom comes, and we don't know exactly when that is, everything is going to be different. And we should be living examples of Christ we're wearing. So, this year, as of today, I like to add things to my spiritual life. So I currently have a morning devotional, but I've decided this year that I am reading through the Bible throughout the year. I'm going to get through the entire Bible with notes. So I'm going to take notes on what I've read. That is not an easy thing for me because I am like the dog in Up, Squirrel. But I think that it's important for me in putting on Christ that I spend more time in his word than I already do. And technically, it's my job to be in his word. So this new year, while you think towards and look towards Christ every day, maybe there's something you can do. Maybe it is just thinking about Jesus coming tomorrow and living like it. Maybe it's something more difficult like I'm trying to do. But I think this new year, today, is a time to pick up something spiritually. We have a hope in Christ. Christ is coming. Let's be good examples of him. And when he comes, we might be the one who goes from the field and disappears. We might be the person at the mill who disappears. I'm not sure how that works. He's going to be teaching on that in the future. But we should be living like that day is tomorrow. Yes, everyday life comes and goes, and tomorrow is Cyber Monday, and that will be a great deal of pushing away the desires of the flesh for me personally. But we're going for something different. We're not being conformed to the world. We're conforming the world to Christ who's in us. And may this new year and this season looking towards Christ be a blessing to you all. May we remember that it was his work and not ours, and Christ on us who brings others to him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.